song. I don't know if you all caught the lyrics that you were actually singing, but the first verse especially caught my attention. And about halfway through the, or toward the end of the first verse, who still guides us on to the end of our days. God's banners are o'er us, his light goes before us, a pillar of fire shining forth in the night, till shadows have vanished and darkness is banished, as forward we travel from light into light. And I just thought that was very, very appropriate, because we are seeking the guidance of the Lord. And so yes, we welcome each one of you here tonight. Thank you for being here. We're grateful for your presence. And I know it's a little bit tough going out in this cold weather, but we're grateful that you made the effort. Well, tonight I just want to, just a couple comments, I guess, that I just want to share with you at the onset here. I don't know what all things have been going through your minds. We've been talking quite a bit in the last half year of a future direction for the congregation here at Berea. And trying to sense the direction of the Lord. And I've heard from some of you, and maybe just to be very, very honest and frank with you, that some of the maybe the little bit of laments that I've heard from some of you, I can identify with, you know. Some of these, I think probably we as humans are just sort of made up that we're pretty habitual people. We just sort of like the rhythm, and and so when there's change, why it can push us around a bit. In ways that some of us probably dislike more than others. And so we just want to recognize that. The other thing I just really want to stress, and I know that Keith or Jake is going to do even a better job of this, but we as a leadership want you as a congregation to know that if you think that we have the answers that, and we're coming to you with the answers, the way that I told the leadership, that the congregation probably thinks we have more answers than what we do. We don't. And that's why we're coming, is because we're seeking direction. One of the things that I've just really, really been praying as leading up to this, I love the phrase in Acts where it says, it seemed good to them and the Holy Spirit. And my prayer has been that as we go through this exercise, that we could truly say, at whatever place we come out, that we can say, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit for the decision that has been reached. And so that's just my prayer. I want to read just a couple verses from Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Through 13 is the report on the faithful church. Who is the faithful church? The church of what? The church of Philadelphia. The church of Philadelphia was the faithful church. And if you think about the word phileo, what is phileo? Brotherly kindness, right? Brotherly love. And that's why they were one of the reasons. Yeah, it was the name of the church there, but they also lived up to their name. Let me just read it, and you can turn to it if you wish. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, These things say he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say there are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I was just struck as I was reading that. May this be the report given of us as a congregation here, that we are faithful, that we have preserved to the end, that we persevere to the end, and that we keep the commands of God, and that we will be kept in the hour of trial. And just pray that as we go through this exercise the next several months, seeking God's direction, your input as a congregation, as a brotherhood, I just believe together God will show us the way. I have no doubt about that, and I trust him for that. Just want to say that we've been meeting quite a few times, as a leadership, but we've also invited the leadership development to join us in this process. And one of the reasons that we invited them, as we talked about it, we said, you know what, if this is a leadership development, then we would hope that at some point they will also be facing this as the older guard drops off and the younger ones come in. We hope at some point they will be facing this. So why not give them the experience and journey with this process together? And perhaps they're going to be able to step on our shoulders and rise higher. And so we've invited them to be part of this process. So we jointly met together, and then we also have broken out a subcommittee that did some grunt work, just a little bit more grunt work. A lot of the things that Jake will be sharing tonight came even further from the subgroup that was consisted of Jake and Charlene, Layton and Carrie, Court and Larry, and Austin and Melinda. So that subgroup did a lot of the really hard work, and then we came back together and would siphon things out a little bit more. So yeah, I just want to keep you up to date on how the process has been working. And again, we just want to trust that the desire is for us to help bring clarity to you and to cast vision. That's the real motivation for this. So let's just pause for prayer, and then I'm going to invite Jake to come up. Lord Jesus, as we come before you, we pause and give you thanks for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for being here. We are so grateful, Father, for your church that has been going for throughout history. And we're just a small segment of that. But Lord, I pray that as it was reported of the Church of Philadelphia, I pray that we too would be a faithful congregation, one who pursues you and stays in step with you, that we would not run ahead of you nor lag behind. And Lord, specifically as we spend the next several months together and just exploring what you want from us in the future, I pray that you would lead us, guide us, direct us, and show us the way, and that we corporately could say it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit to the place that we come out at. Lord, I pray that you would be with Jake as he shares the evening, and just guide and direct us. We give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. Jake.
Good evening, everyone. It is such a delight to see all of you here. Thank you for coming out, making a special effort to come out. How many of you remember your first day of school? you know, something that you anticipated for some of us, some of you, probably well over a year. You're 5 years old, and your older siblings are going to school, and you are stuck at home with mom. You have a little bit of this twinge of left out, and then finally, you know, you turn six, and you are so excited because this fall you can go to school, and then you're buying books, you're buying crayons, you're buying a ruler, and whatever all that stuff is, and then one morning, it is the morning that school starts. And mom takes you to school with your older siblings, just like you always thought you should be going along. And then, all of a sudden, you're not sure if this is really where you should be. Mom drops you off and she leaves, and all of a sudden you realize that things are not the same. Things have changed. You get a little bit of that lump in your throat, and you're not going to cry, for sure not. Tonight, I'm guessing that there's a few of you that might have the adult version of that. And maybe the reason I bring that up is because maybe I have the adult version of that a little bit. You know, we've talked about this. We've talked about this for months, maybe even years. And it's always kind of been something that's been on the horizon, right? You know, we're strategizing and thinking about how this could look and how this could be, and so. Finally, we're here, and there's probably a few of us that are thinking, well, how did we even get here? What always happened? How did we even get here that we're having a meeting tonight talking about possibly having a church plant somewhere? Well, I'd like to talk about that a little bit. As Pastor James has already mentioned, that this really began to kick off when Paul Miller was here from Ohio, and so, you know, we intentionally did that because we had this on the horizon, right? And so after he's here, you know, we're like a bunch of schoolboys, I guess. We're kind of looking at each other and said, well, that was really good. Now what do we do? And so we had a meeting, we got together, and essentially, basically what we did is we got together with the leadership development team, and each of us shared, okay, so what did you take away, what did you learn from Paul? And we recorded that. Pastor Layton took good notes of that. And so that took several meetings, and then we had a bunch of information. Now what do we do with it? So as Pastor James mentioned, we got together as a subcommittee. And basically, we dissected that information. What was on our hearts after, as we talked about what did Brother Paul share? And so as we looked at that information, we essentially categorized that into three main groups. And I'm going to share those with you, and then we're going to dissect those a little bit more. The first one was some key whys. Like, why is this important that we're talking about this? You know, why are we even bringing it up? The second one is key considerations. In other words, things that we need to keep thinking about as we move through this process. We'll explain that more in the next meeting. Actually, we'll kind of deep dive into that. Third one is key actions, kind of how could this process look? And that kind of flows like this. You know, there's a reason, there's some whys that we're bringing this up. There's some things that we need to consider as we move through here, and there's some key actions. So, quickly tonight, a little bit of an overview of what we're going to talk about. We're going to spend most of our time on the key whys. The kickoff meeting, that's what we're talking about, the key whys. And I'm going to break down those key actions a little bit. I'm going to briefly explain to you how the subcommittee has categorized them, broke them out a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about resources. And then we're going to close the meeting with a time of corporate prayer. We're just going to break up in little groups and have a time of prayer. And of course, we trust that you've been praying about this, up to this as well. So, key whys. Why is this even important? Why are we having this meeting? Well, there's several things that came up as we discussed it. The first one is lack of space, and maybe I'll remind you that we had briefly talked about this before we moved into this building, and we had kind of shelved it and says, no, we still are a pretty small congregation. We're going to move in here. This came up. It seemed like this was how the Holy Spirit, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit at that time. And we kind of put a church plant out on the horizon. But we did say that if this building fills up, then we're going to talk about that. And we are moving in that direction. In case you didn't know, there's a lot of little children in this church. And, amen. I really want you to know that the leadership team doesn't think that this is a problem. This is a really good situation to be in. This is not a problem. But this is kind of the in our face thing that is kind of putting a little bit of urgency on this conversation. Seven to eight children, 15 and under. And if we look at the next slide, notice that half our members are 40 and under, which translates into the baby boom is not over. But again, this is not a problem. This is a really good thing. In fact, I think I've shared this with you before, but about a year ago, we had a visitor here that I knew fairly well, and so after church, I think I closed the service. After church, I go back and talk to him, and one of the first things he said is, Jake, you have a lot of young families in this church. What have you done? I said, don't know, really, I guess. But that's a really good situation to be in. And I just want to say, we are so grateful that you're here. The second thing of the key whys is timing. Our congregation is at a good place that or at least it's at a better place than it was 5 years ago when we first had kind of talked about that. And I want to explain that a little bit in that we have more tall trees, if you will. I don't know if you remember Brother Paul, he talked about that when he was here. Tall trees are godly men that are qualified and capable of leading. But if they're not given a chance, then they can begin to die out. We have tall trees. We're at a healthy spot. We have unity of spirit here. We have gifted people here. It just seems like we're at a good spot to plant the church. Third thing is vision and goals. And again, keep in mind, you know, think about this in alignment with our mission statement of making more disciples. planting another church does align with making more disciples. It also aligns with some of our key characteristics, and again, we'll explain some of those terms a little more at the next meeting. Again, sending, if we want to be a church with a sending culture, then it would probably mean that we should actually be doing some sending. Planting a church or sending is one way to resist stagnation and decline. And it's also a way of operating offensively rather than being a congregation that is constantly in defensive mode. We are operating offensively. And so, again, this kind of flows this way. You know, the in-our-face thing is the lack of space. Seems like we're kind of at a good time. And, of course, we have visions and goals. Sometimes, though, it's a little easy for that vision and that goal to be kind of out there. You know, it's always a year ahead of us. I would really kind of like for us to think about this in this way, that vision and goals actually is the primary reason why we are talking about this. If we want to be a New Testament church that sends people and makes disciples, then we need to go. Somehow, we need to find ways to bring others or give others what we have been given. And so when I think of the key whys of why we are talking about this, why we're having this conversation tonight, I think about visions and goals first. And then timing is secondary. You might have a goal to plant a church, but if you don't have the resources, the timing might not be right. And then lack of space is kind of, you know, it is a consideration, certainly. But might I suggest that even if this auditorium held 350 people, this congregation is still at a good place and a good time to consider a church plant. So, how does this all look? Well, we don't know for sure. I'd like to briefly look at, give you a little bit of an overview of some of the key action items, which we'll talk about more as we move through this. So, as we met as a leadership team, as we met as a subcommittee, and we talked about, well, how do we actually flesh this out? You know, what is an action that we can do? How do we begin the process? You know, Paul Miller was here. We had Tim Beiler here before that. We've kind of been, you know, we've had this on the horizon for a little while. But at some point, somebody's going to have to take a step and kind of do something. And we don't know yet what all that looks like. But as we discussed it, prayed about it, it did seem like there's somewhat four different categories or four different phases of actions. And so we are currently in the seeking a vision phase, and we will be for the next several months. Think of this phase as one of the things that needs to happen in this phase is that you as a congregation needs to understand and needs to know what the leadership is talking about and thinking about and praying about. Also, equally as important is we as a leadership team, we want to know what's going through your minds. What has the Spirit been showing you? What are you seeing in? And so somehow we need to have this dialogue. so that we all can understand each other. And there's, you know, it's important that you also understand what that person sitting next to you, what's he thinking about this? And so that's as we discuss this, it seemed that's where kind of where we came up with, we're going to have two meetings where we present, and then at least two more, but we'll take as many as we need to have each member, to give each member an opportunity to give input. As we do that, we want to take good notes, and then we will likely have a survey at the end of this phase. And we're simply wanting to give everybody an opportunity to give input. The second phase, develop a vision. This becomes a little more hazy. We will likely evaluate the input that all of us have done together. There's a good chance that at some point there that we might have a committee, like much like what we did when we moved into here. We had a committee that kind of headed things up. Those are things that will likely happen in develop a vision stage. Ignite a vision. We don't know yet for sure what that will look like, but that will likely, we would envision, if there are people that feel called to go, or if there's a location, or that would happen there. But again, that's not something that the leadership team decides by itself. Launch a vision would be starting a second congregation somewhere, somehow. We don't know for sure what all this looks like. What we can tell you, our commitment to you as a leadership team, is that we will try to be as transparent as possible as we move through this. We will try to bring as much clarity as possible. And we are committed as a leadership team to do this together. Think of these phases as a process that we move through together, because we are a body. We love each other as God the Father and God the Son. The last thing that we want to present tonight is resources. I'd like for us to think a little bit about resources. And this kind of connects with timing as well. One of the reasons we're at a good spot to have this conversation is because there are resources. And I'd like for us to think about us as a body moving through this process together. We have been given something. This body, I believe, from my perspective as a pastor, that there's a gift of unity of the Spirit here, and that is a gift. That is something that we have been given. Secondly, high joy level. I really believe this congregation has a fairly high joy level. And one of the ways that we can see that is people's reactions when they see each other. And it's fairly easy for me to see that many of you genuinely enjoy spending time together and being with each other. Something that I've noticed just recently is how long some of us can linger after a service. And at Berea, we've always kind of done that, but I think it's becoming even a little longer. And that's a really good thing. I think that's a really good thing. You know, I walk out the back here and you wade through the little children, you make your way out through the library, and there's always a couple of moms there with their babies, and they're obviously enjoying being together. And then maybe not so much this time of the year, but often if you go out this door, you'll see a couple dads out there. with their a little older children. And that is a blessing. That is something, a gift. That's a gift that we've been given, that we enjoy being together. High joy levels. Something else that I see as a resource is that this is a place, this congregation is a place where there is genuine character change happening. And, you know, as a pastor, well, first of all, if I look at who I am today and who I was 15 years ago, something has changed. And also, from my perspective as a pastor, character change is happening here. Many of you are growing in Christ. And that is a really, really good thing to have. Fourthly, there's a lot of gifted people here. And this body is a body, this congregation is a congregation that genuinely believes that it is not only the pastors that minister. Many of you are actively involved in numerous different ways. And many of you have giftings, which again, the Spirit gives all of the saints gifts to bring edification to the body. And so, I would like for us to think about these things as resources. I am convinced that if we steward these things well, that monetary and financial resources are not a problem. In wrapping this up, I'd like for us to think about these resources in light of Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. We've been given so much. We have so much. There are many, in fact, most people in the world have no idea what it is to have a relationship, first of all, with the Father, but then secondly, with each other. And this is a gift that we've been given. What if we could give that gift to someone else? What if only even just one person would come to know the Father? So I'd like to invite you tonight and throughout the next month to pray about these resources, to ask the Father how we can best utilize them and what His will would be as we move through this process of considering whether we should plant a church somewhere. At this time, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're simply going to break out into, you know, two or three couples or individuals, and we're going to spend however much time you want, I guess. There's no limit. We're going to spend time in prayer, and then after you're done, consider yourself dismissed, and we will convene again next month. You can stand and we'll pray.